I want us to look at idolatry, and I want us to first understand idolatry, guys, can be workaholism. Okay? It's not only the stuff like heroin or pornography. It's the stuff like workaholic. It's the stuff like success, selfish ambition. Amen? So we have to see that anything that sets that we have set higher in our hearts than God is an idol. Come on, how many here have idols? Not as bad as before. Amen? They're going, gone. Amen? So we have to understand, we have to understand God to some level to understand his heart. God says he's a jealous God, right? He says, I am a jealous God. He's the only one who can be jealous. He's the only one who is the creator. He's the only one with rights of ownership. He's the only one who should possess us. He created us. He's jealous for us. And he has set everything in a divine order how he wants it to work. Amen? He means it. He means it. He knows what he's doing. He has the blueprint for everything. He has the blueprint for everybody's life. He has the blueprint for every nation. He knows how everything is supposed to work. That's why his name is God. Idolatry is any relationship that you look to higher than you look to God. Anybody you look to for advice, anybody, anything. Idolatry is anything you spend your time on that takes the place of God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay? So as I'm seeking his kingdom, not only do I want a relationship with or want to know Jesus, I actually want to be inside of his kingdom. Which means I want to know how he does things. I want to know how he wants me to do things. I want to understand all of his ways. I want to live in a different kingdom. It's not pretend, it's real. How many think that in the kingdom, he's king? How many think that he is the kind of king that he makes the decisions? How many thinks that having God as king and him making these decisions would be a good thing? So I have to understand this king, because if I understand this king, I will freely submit myself to his rulership. Amen? I will freely submit myself to doing things his way because he's king. We got to understand all these names for God in a sense to see how to let go of idolatry. He's God the Father. So in the area of relationships, he is the Father. Amen? He is the Father. There was no Father before him. And then he created man in his image and his likeness, and he caused the men to be fathers. To imitate him. Kind of father he is. And to understand the kind of father he is, you have to enter into the kingdom. You got to have a relationship with him. You have to understand his heart. You have to understand why he has the spiritual laws that he has, why he has these principles that he has. What is he after in this? Is he trying to control us or is he trying to guide us? See, there's fathers who don't have the understanding of their king and the father's heart of the king. Amen. So God, how many know God doesn't control us? How many sometimes wish he would? Come on, don't you think, Lord, why did you just make me do everything right? Because he made us in his image and his likeness. He wants us to choose, okay? Do you get that? He wants you to choose. Every day, every thought you continue to think on, every relationship you have, everything you do, guess who is choosing that? You are. You are. If you want to walk in freedom from some bondage, that you got in the world, then you have to choose to walk in freedom. Amen. You have to choose. We're talking about this in our group. We need to take back responsibility. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then you get this. You seek first. You choose to seek first the kingdom of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have to do those things. Amen. I have to step out and do those things. I have to step out and say no to certain things. I have to step out and choose. Amen. Does everybody get this? In his kingdom, we choose. Jesus died to set us free from the works of the enemy so we could choose. Not everybody can choose. Up until Christ, the only thing you're free to choose is Christ. Before Christ, you just go along with whatever way you're going along, whether you're eating of the tree of the knowledge of good or the part of the knowledge of evil. Every decision you make is either based on the devil influencing you this way or somebody influencing you that way. It's not until you accept Christ that you really have freedom to choose, really freedom to choose. Isn't it cool that the Holy Spirit is always there for anybody who's really seeking God? Anybody who's seeking God will find him. Who's responsible for that? You are. You didn't get saved because you live in America. You got saved if you are saved because you were seeking God. If you didn't get saved because you're seeking God, you're probably not saved. You might want to start seeking God. You can't get saved because your wife wants you saved. Amen? Your children won't get saved because you want them saved. They will get saved because of your prayers and your heart and what you've done in your life to cause them to seek after God. Amen? So everything, everyone has a dream. What if you're in a nation you never heard? They'll have a dream. If they're seeking God, if you're seeking God, you will find him. It's a promise. It cannot be broken. God's spiritual laws are yes and amen. His spiritual laws are yes and amen. In the kingdom, what God says happens. He is not a man that he can lie. How many are glad that their king is not a man? Amen. I'm so tired of calling him man. And who's the, my king is not a man, and he can't lie. He's the son of man, which means his mama was of mankind. And he came in skin, but he's God. Amen? I got God as my king. How cool is that? That he came in skin as the son of man to die as the second Adam to restore us back into a relationship with God if we what? If we choose a relationship with God. If I choose to live holy, if I choose to read his word, if I choose, the number one laws in the kingdom is choice. So whatever mess you're in or whatever great things are going on, your choices had a lot to do with that. Amen? You chose who you were going to marry. You chose to have children, whether you know it or not. There are natural laws that most everybody in America knows that produces children. Amen? You had the choice before you got pregnant, you had the choice. I know, and if you were molested or raped or whatever, then you have the choice to love or to give a baby away. Amen? And forgiven. You do need healing. You need God to come and do those things. But guess what? He heals the brokenhearted. Every single thing is taken care of in the kingdom. Is that cool? We are in a kingdom where everything is taken care of. If you're in the kingdom. I think there's a lot of Christians who I believe maybe are really Christians or have the Spirit. But they're like infants and they're tossed around every which way because they're what? They didn't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And their idolatry keeps them kind of just barely hanging on. And the Bible says they're just tossed and turned. They look just like the world. Okay? So in this kingdom, it has to be first. We've talked about this. We have a teaching on this. But first. Okay, I want everybody to stop a second and look and see if God is really first in your life, in his kingdom, okay? Now let's see how we can tell where our idols are, okay? If God is really, if God's kingdom, if you're seeking first his kingdom, then you have an attitude when you wake up of, God, what are we going to do today? God, what are we going to do today? You wake up with an attitude of recognizing that the God of the kingdom, who's king, has sent his own spirit to direct our every step and every move. That's the privilege of the kingdom. Amen? And if I think about it, you guys, think about it. In the kingdom, his spirit is living inside of us to guide us, to direct us, to teach us, to comfort us, to order our steps, to make the way where there seems to be. He's inside of us. There's nothing as glorious as being in the kingdom and having God inside of us. Amen? Nothing. There's nobody's religion close to it. There's some New Age garbage where they let some demons in and think it's God till they're mental hospitals or whatever. But do you understand what I'm saying? We have the living God inside of us, hopefully. And there needs to be fruit for that. Otherwise, you need to question if you need to start over on this journey. There's real fruit. Amen. If you haven't changed, if you're just trying too hard or you're trying to make it happen, I suggest you break down before God and ask his spirit to come inside and take charge. Because that's what lordship is about. Okay, that's what lordship. It says, when we make Jesus Christ Lord. How do we make Jesus Christ Lord? We make Jesus Christ Lord by laying down all of our idols and letting him be in charge. That's how he becomes Lord. Amen? See, you can get all focused on, oh, he's a daddy, he's a daddy, he's a daddy. But if you didn't have a right relationship with your father, you might not understand the fullness of what that means. If you don't understand the word, when I think of a father, because I had a really good father in a lot of ways, my father disciplined. He did it in love. He didn't ever abuse us, ever. But you had the fear of dad. When that belt started to come off, you knew, oh. He caused us to respect our mother. He didn't undermine her. Your mother said, it was like, oh, she told dad. Okay? You didn't want to disappoint my dad. You didn't want to disappoint my dad because we respected him. And when you snuck around, which only happened for me a couple times, and I got caught once, I felt so bad. I didn't feel so bad because I got caught. I felt so bad because of the way he looked at me, so disappointed and not believing that I would do that and lie straight to his face. That's the reverent, right kind of fear of dad. And my dad didn't even walk. He's a baby Christian. I mean, his best way is to say, Lord, help me. And he did prayers at night, and he dropped us off and kicked us out of the car and had us go to church, and he went Easter and Christmas. And yet, because he really had unconditional love, he really represented God in a way that made it easy for me to understand Father God. I don't have a big, hard time understanding that God's a father. I don't have a big, hard time knowing he loves me. I don't have a big, hard time knowing to respect him. Amen? I don't have a big, hard time knowing I can run to him, but to respect him. Now, if you didn't have that with your father, then you need to spend some time in the presence of God in his kingdom, amen, and asking him to heal you there. Get some of the teaching for the father's heart. You know, really spend some time in the men's groups. Really spend some time praying. you know, for the Father's heart to be real to you. Amen? Go after the things that you need in the kingdom. Isn't that cool? Isn't there's so much. There's so much in the kingdom. There's so much to do. I don't know how anybody can be bored. I really don't know how anybody can be bored. There's so much. There's so many different things God is doing at different all the time. I can go and I can find out. I can go on and with the internet and stuff, you can go and find the teaching on the Father's love. You can go to conferences about the Father's love. You can read books about the Father's love. And that's an aspect of Father God. Amen? Just one aspect of him, though. Does everybody know if you don't seek the whole kingdom and the whole revelation, then you're going to start getting off track. Amen? And pretty soon, you're not going to have the reverent understanding and fear of God. You won't understand how awesome Jesus is. Okay, you won't understand that he's preparing us. Holy Spirit is preparing us in this kingdom to be eternally one with Jesus. As a husband and a wife are supposed to be seen as one and powerfully close, how many know the devil's messed that up in our society? So God wants us to understand that kind of closeness, that kind of being able to share everything, that having this person that's so close, someone we can look up to. So do you understand why, wow, I've got to understand this whole marriage thing. I've got to understand the kingdom's version, not the world's. Amen? I've got to understand the kingdom version of Father, not the world's. I've got to understand the kingdom. Does anybody get what I'm talking about? Everything in you that's not seeking first the kingdom of God is seeking an idol. It's an idol. Jesus says, I need to be about my Father's business, right? I need to see what the Father has. What is my Father's business that he has for my life? Because if I'm trying to prove something and do something, be superior, make money, whatever these things are, if they're leading me and it's not what God has for me, it's an idol. Well, how will you know? Because you work all the time and your family suffers. Your work's an idol. Or you don't work at all. You just sit around thinking you're going to do something one day. Right? It's like God wants, Holy Spirit wants to say, let me open the doors for you. Let me make a way for you. You get the training. You need to get the teaching. You do this and you do that. I'm going to take over with everything in you to make you exactly what I have for your life. Amen? He wants to be God. How about that? How about we have a God who wants to be God? And when we don't want him to be God, no matter what the excuse, no matter what the reason, no matter what the childhood, no matter what the wrong teaching, it's your idolatry. Amen? It's your idolatry if you want the pastor to take the place of God in your life. It's your idolatry. Amen? It's your idolatry if you let your spouse take the place in your affection that belongs to God. It's your idolatry. It's your idolatry if you try to get all your needs met through your children. Amen? All of that is idolatry. When I was studying this thing on idolatry, because this is going to help us kind of understand when we're looking at the getting free from temptation, because believe it or not, this kind of goes together. Because it was really cool. I was praying and saying, Lord, you know, what do you want me to teach after temptation? Because I know last week when we were reading the scriptures on temptation, the word idolatry came up a lot. And so I've been reading this book. It's a very, very good book. It's called, maybe that's it, maybe Gods of War. I think it's, what's the name of the author? Kyle Eidelman, Gods of War. And he really talks about idolatry. The whole book is about idolatry. The whole book is about idolatry. Well, I was reading it for a while. We read it out loud and all. So I was praying last night about, Lord, how do you want me to start this teaching on idolatry? How do you want me to help, you know, with this teaching on temptation to get people free from the temptation, especially in our society? You know, our society has such, you know, our society is all about sex and money. I mean, it's just lustful, lustful society. It really is. It's really changed. Even in 20 years, it has gotten so horrific. I just pray and pray for young people. How can you grow up in this society? How can parents, I mean, the church needs to really pull together and make really good options for Christian parents to pull together. And the enemy's doing everything he can to quit homeschooling, to quit Christian education, everything he can to make sure he can suck every child into the system of lust and perversion. Amen? And we don't need to have fear, but we need to get serious about laying down our idols. We need to get serious about it, praying and interceding and taking authority. Amen? We need to be serious about other people's children if ours aren't that age anymore. Or when the grandchildren are coming, we need to seriously recognize this is war. Amen? This is war, and it's idolatry that causes the enemy to win. Okay? It's his idolatry. So anyway, so when I got to the chapter that I would just be on, you know, I haven't read this in like 3 or 4 months now. And the chapter, which I wasn't even interested in before, for I don't know why, but it was on the idolatry or the gods of romance. That's what he called it. And anyway, when I was thinking about this, everything that makes you feel like you have to have that special person to be okay is idolatry. And come on, it's in the music, it's in the TV, it's in the books, it's in everything, everything. And so because it's idolatry, right? Then the enemy can get in there with perversion and lust. He can get in there with codependency and entanglements and all the big gigantic mess that everybody sees, right? So the first thing we have to do is we have to put everything on the altar and get rid of idols. And you have to get really honest to do that, okay? You have to get really, really honest to do that. You have to recognize your idols. What takes up most of your time? What things do you kind of not want God's hands in? Where has the devil put fear in you that you're afraid if God gets involved and changes something? Like your parenting or your relationships or your job. It's those areas where the enemy has taught you not to trust anybody. You have to take care of this. Does anybody get what I'm talking about? Those areas that you're afraid to trust God in. The areas that you're afraid to trust God in or put him and his word first. It's in those areas that Satan has set up his throne. It's a place where he gets worship through your idolatry. Amen? What God wants is he wants us to let go of the idols because every idol gets in the way of him being in charge. And God wants us to just stop and look and say, who do you really want in charge of? Let's look at what are the most important things in life. What are the most important things in life? With God is supposed to be the most important, right? We all know that. We all know that, okay? So we recognize he should be in the top of the hierarchy here, right? So what should be the next thing? Relationships. We should want God in charge of relationships, right? I want God in charge of all my relationships. Okay? I want God in charge of all my relationships. So if you're married, one of the most important relationships that God has brought into your life is your spouse. Okay, I'm tearing this down because if you're not married and you believe that you have to have the spouse to have the most important relationship, you have idolatry. So it's God and then relationships. Because if it's not God and then relationships, if it's God and then marriage, then if you don't have a marriage, you have an idol to find a marriage so that you can be okay. If God's in charge of relationships and he wants me to have a spouse, he's going to bring the spouse. Amen? Amen? But if I have an idol that I need a spouse to be okay, or I need a spouse to have the life that I'm supposed to have, then my focus is going to be what I don't have instead of the relationship I do have with God, who is now in charge of all my relationships. Do you understand? Whoa, do you get this? Because we live in a culture, where they make marriage an idol. Not anymore. They make having a significant person in your life to have sex with. I'll just be honest. That's what our culture does. Our culture says you have to have one specific person in your life that you have sex with. It doesn't matter anymore if it's a male and a male and a female and a female or whatever, but this is what makes it now that relationship. You don't have to be married anymore. Our culture's changed. Has anybody else seen this? The media is quickly trying to change it. Spirit of media, over media. And the opinions and the talk shows and the psychiatrists and all the people with any kind of influence on our society and our culture are saying, well, you don't really need that. So obviously marriage is extremely important in the eyes of God and is being really attacked by the enemy to make it almost of the actual idea of marriage not to be anything anybody even understands anymore. Amen? But God wants to be in charge of relationships. And now if God is in charge of relationships and I don't have any idols, let me say this. If God is really in charge of relationships and there's no idols, there's nothing else in charge but God, how many believe that if you're married, he, God, is going to make that one of the primary relationships that he wants to direct and take charge of? Right? How many can look at their marriage, you have to raise your hand on this, and say, I don't know that God's in charge. There's a lot of people who could probably say, well, I've placed God in charge on my part of the marriage. Amen? Well, you know, if God had been in charge before you got married, right? The guy could be in charge from day one. Although there are a lot of people who get married in the church, and believe it or not, idolatry is more in charge than God is. How many know that's true? Amen. How many know God wants to change that? Because in the kingdom, the king wants to be in charge. Amen. And then he shows us all his understanding of marriage and what it's supposed to represent. We're not going to get into all that. We have teaching on that. The marriage teaching is really, really good. I go over every single scripture about marriage, every single concept in God's heart that he's given to me, at least at the point I made that, about marriage. And it really helps to set the course straight on what it should look like and what it should be according to the spiritual laws of the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, if relationships, God wants to be in charge of relationships, he knows the right relationship. And he'll show you in his word. And that's why you want to get around godly people. That's why these life groups are important that we do. So you understand, what does a healthy relationship look like in the eyes of God between a parent and a child? And let me just say, a lot of them aren't healthy around here. We need to quit agreeing with unhealthy things and trying to rationalize that it's healthy. And we need to actually help each other say, this isn't healthy. This isn't spirit-led. This is not spirit-led. Acting like this is not spirit-led. Being like this isn't spirit-led. I was talking to a couple people. This came up a couple times this week. But we need to quit priding ourselves on being mama bears. Somebody saying, well, I just get so mad. Well, that's not God. That's idolatry. It's idolatry to think that it's okay to be a mama bear. Do you know what I mean by mama bear? Don't touch my kids. Oh, you better not do that, or I'll get you if you do this or if you do that. It's this concept of I'm the mom and I'm going to protect my kids over everything. Well, there's fear in that. There's fear. Why do you think you have to protect your kids? If God is in charge, then God's going to protect my kids. Amen? I leave it up to the Holy Spirit to show me when to pray. I leave it up to the Holy Spirit to show me what to say and when to do what and how to love unconditionally. He is awesome at it. God will just show you things. He'll just lead you. It's so awesome. It's just so awesome to have a God who cares about that kind of stuff. Amen? But if you had parenting idolatry, you had to be in charge. You had to take care of everything. Everything had to work out fine. You block the voice of the Holy Spirit. And your fear can talk to you. If you're afraid your husband's going to leave you, or you're afraid your husband's going to have an affair, or you're afraid of this or that, that fear blocks the Holy Spirit. And then you're doing it, and you're confused, and you're paranoid, or you're complacent and don't even know what's going on. You see what I'm saying? It's so important. It's so important to deal with our idols. It's so important to deal with our idols. You know, we have a young couple right now really struggling in their marriage because, and there's all kinds of stuff, why and all, but it really boils down to the idol of making money that the young man had. And when it gets down to the core of it, you know, this young wife is wounded and hurt inside that the husband would rather be working than be with her. Like all the time working. And let me tell you, there's no way this young husband thought he was doing anything but helping out the family. You know what I'm saying? He's not sitting there thinking, how can I hurt her? How can I make her feel lonely? Because he's not what? He's not led by God. He's being led by his idol. And there's a lot of reasons people can have idols. Maybe you didn't get an education, so you're going to prove something with your job. Maybe you got an education, so you're going to prove something with your job. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe you don't feel like you're anyone if you don't climb the corporate ladder, whatever it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's all about idolatry. It's all about what has set its place, what is in my life that's in a higher place than God. And here's the thing. When we have idols, we really miss what God really has for us. I really want us to get that. Is there anybody else here besides me who doesn't want to miss another single thing that God has for me in my life? I don't want to miss what God has for me. I don't want to miss what he has for me in relationships. I don't want to miss what he has for me doing his business, doing what he has for my life to do. I don't want to miss what he has for me to do in enjoying my life. Do you understand? I just want this awesome, complete, powerful life that glorifies God. Amen? And the only way to have that, the only way to have that is to lay down your idols. And the only way to lay down your idols is to see why you picked up your idols. I would say all idols have some kind of fear-guilt-prove something behind them. I'm going to prove that I'm lovable because I'm going to have my kids love me. I'm going to prove that... you know, whatever your situation is, I'm going to prove that the first marriage fell apart because of him and not me. I'm going to prove that I'm going to prove mentality. I'm going to prove that I can do something and I'm not going to let my gender or skin color stop me. The whole concept of I'm going to prove is you've been targeted by the enemy through something in your past or something in culture that is telling you you have to prove something, which what? Makes it an idol. When we were praying on Friday night, God just gave me this powerful revelation of how the church can really rise up and take authority and power over the spirit of racism and violence that's being released on the earth right now. Has anybody else besides me noticed that the enemy is quickly trying to push us way, way back into before the 50s? Is race, but now with everybody having ammunitions and guns and more perversions and hatred than ever before? Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's like all of a sudden, it's like, what is happening? It's a spirit. It's a principality. The Bible says nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom in the last days. But this I love. You know, one of the things that Lance was saying in his teaching, right now, he's recognizing that there are going to be sheep nations and goat nations when Jesus comes to reign on the earth. Sheep nations are nations that hold on to the gospel, hold on to the ways of God, take authority in the things of darkness, and do what God has us to do. And the goat nations are going to get worse and worse and worse. So even if we read Revelations and we know what's going to come down, amen, and we understand what Jesus talks about, Matthew, I think it's 24 to 26, about the end times, we don't just throw up and say, oh, well. We have to sit and say, wait a minute, I want this nation to be a sheep nation, amen? So I still want righteousness to reign. I want to push back darkness. I want to take authority. And so when you're seeing these things happening that the Bible says are going to happen, that's going to be stirred up in these last days, instead of just going, oh my, or closing your eyes and pretending it's not happening, to me, it's like saying, Lord, give me answers. Give me answers, God. Give me answers. How do we pray? How do we stop this? What does the Bible say? They will know we love him by our love for each other. Where's that scripture? They'll know we're one by our love for each other. What is it? It's a powerful spiritual law that Satan wants to make sure it doesn't happen, because without it, there won't be a harvest of souls. John 13:35. He says, I give a new command to you that you should love one another. Accordingly, as I loved you, you should love one another. By this, all shall know that you are my disciples if you have love among one another. So they're going to know that we are true Christians when we love one another. That means every color, every gender, every age, everybody who's born again in the Spirit of God has got to come in this place of loving one another. Amen? So they'll know we're one. God wants us to be one body. He calls us to be one body. That's in scripture all over. And Lord started showing me the counterfeit. The enemy wants there to be one body in other areas. So he calls this divisiveness with the counterfeit of a unity. But it's not of Christians joined together in love. Amen? It's of people joined together in with a agenda. And the Lord was showing us when we were praying on Friday night, you cannot be one with a Republican or Democrat party. You cannot be one with the brothers. You cannot be one with the hood. You cannot be one anywhere except in Christ. Amen? But we have the real deal. We have a God who can truly, truly change us and bring us into unity and oneness that's real. A sincere respect, a sincere understanding, a sincere compassion, really understanding what somebody else has gone through is what compassion, knowing how to help and to bring change, amen? Just crying out for change. I am amazed at what God is teaching me. I'm amazed at what he's teaching me to love people that I normally would have never even known or hung out with. That he can bring people of different backgrounds and different economic situations and different everything from single moms to married people. It's amazing. Amen. And to make us really for real die to self, see people the way God sees them in love. And so we have to break the power of all these other allegiances. We have to break the power of loyalty, because it's a bondage that the enemy puts us in that causes us to not be able to be led by what? The Holy Spirit. I am a kingdom person, amen? I am a kingdom person. The only oneness I have is with my God and his body, which is the body of Christ, amen? In his kingdom. Everything else is idolatry. Everything else empowers the wrong spirits. And then we don't have the kind of love that we need to see harvest come and revival come and these things God wants us to do. But I'm having a seminar. It's called The Key to Divine Protection. And the reason there's so much violence and all happening even around churches and in communities is because of this false oneness. I mean, think what you're becoming one with. Amen? I only want to be one with Christ. I want to be one with believers. I want to be one in Christ. But then we really have to really, really die to our own hypocrisies. We've got to really die to our own pains and hurts and stereotypes and all this stuff. We have to die to it. We have to die to what the enemy's done. Amen? And everybody has their stories. But we have to die to it. And we have to lay down those idols. Amen? And we have to let God be in charge of what? Relationships. If God was really in charge of relationships, do you think the church would be as segregated as it is? Do you really think Holy Spirit's going, okay, let's see, you go to church that's all African American, you go to church, all you guys, okay, you guys come over here to just go to church where everybody's kind of rich and everybody has the same kind of thing. You guys all come over here and you guys all come over here. Y'all, how many know that that's not God? How many know that's not God? How many know heaven's not going to be like that? And if that bothers you, you need deliverance. Amen? How many knows God likes that he is a God of variety and diversity? He is totally cool with it. He is totally cool with all the different nations. He's totally cool with the different skin colors, the different kind of hair. He is totally cool with two genders. There's only such thing as two genders, male and female. He made them. Amen? And he made them, and they knew what that was when they were born. Because he made it obvious. Amen? It's not complicated. You know, it's a really messed up world when you complicate something like, what gender are you? Talk about intellectualism going to a level of ridiculous. Amen? You want to have compassion. You want to help people understand that. You want to help people understand who they are in Christ. You want to be part of Holy Spirit bringing light into darkness. Amen? So we have to deal with all these idols. Then, so we have relationships. Now, if relationships is not even the next thing after God in your life, you've been really wounded. Amen? You've been really hurt. And you need to ask God to restore you to a desire for true relationships. And then after that, there's not like a special order, but I would say because Jesus was about the Father's business, right? He was about relationship, and then he was about the Father's business. What's the Father's business? To do the will of God, to die on the cross. So I need God in charge of my calling. I need God in charge of where he wants to put me. Amen? I need God in charge of where I'm going to use my gifts and my talents. I need God in charge of that. I shouldn't be in charge of that. Amen? I shouldn't be in charge. I probably could have made a lot of money and had a lot of esteem being a counselor or, you know, all I had to do was get a couple more, you know, semesters of college and you know, I could have had a master's degree or whatever. You know, you see what I'm saying? I could have done that. But if it's not what I'm called to do by God, then it's not what I should do in the kingdom, right? But if somebody is a counselor, praise God for counselors. A lot of people in this room came here because their counselor suggested it. Amen? Then that's what they should be doing. Somebody needs to be in business. If more people would get the revelation they're supposed to be in business and let God bless them in business and really use them in business, there'd be kingdom finances if they didn't serve mammon and think, I'll give 10%. When God's like, well, I gave you 1,000-fold over what other people give. Why would you only want to give 10%? But if I'm serving mammon, then I'm going to get real legalistic about it, right? So God's like, well, wait a minute. Think what it will be like if everybody really were doing what God wanted you to do, where he wanted you to do it. And believe it or not, we've watched it. I never thought I'd end up in a little tiny church on Denby Boulevard ever. You can ask my husband. Never once did we ever discuss it. Never once did we think about it. Never. Never. I still wasn't even thinking about getting, I didn't even, God's making me start to like Newport News because I'm here, but I was very happy when I got to move out of Newport News to York County. And God's like, you're going to have to start loving Newport News. I'm going to do something there. Okay, God, you're going to have to make this real. But I love the people that live around here, amen? I really do. I am so glad he put me here. I wasn't glad he put me here when he first put me here. He put me here because he did not give me the millions of dollars he gave Joel Osteen. If he had given me the millions of dollars he gave Joel Osteen, I wouldn't be here. If he gave me the couple million dollars he gave to another pastor friend, this pastor named Duncan, I wouldn't be here. When he gives you $200 and tells you to get a building, you just thank God that you got here and you've almost got the building paid off and he's paid all the bills and you're just amazed at what he's done. Amen? But maybe he does it that way, not because you don't have faith. Maybe he does it that way because in his kingdom, that's where he wants you, and he wants you to understand what the people are going through who are going to come through the doors that he wants to heal, set free, and deliver. And maybe he wants you to love everybody. Maybe he wants you to learn to love people that aren't the people that work with your husband as engineers. Maybe he's going to want you to understand people who aren't the people you went to college with. Maybe he wants to mix it up. Amen? Maybe he wants to mix it up where you can't tell if the person beside you is a high school graduate, a junior high school graduate, or a PhD. And since we don't all dress up, it's kind of hard to tell around here. We take cameras, everybody coming out of their house for work in the morning when we find out some stuff. Amen? Couldn't it just be in the will of God? He doesn't see things like the world does. If you haven't caught on to that yet, you're still in idolatry. How about knowing God knows where he wants you to be? Amen? Does anybody think it'd be kind of nice to just be at peace with God knows where he wants me to be? And then lay down our idols of proving something, lay down our idols of whatever it is, lay down our idols, our excuses, lay down our excuses of not having education, lay down our excuses, lay down our idols of laziness, lay down our idols of defeat, whatever it is. Whatever takes the place of God leading you is an idol. Whether it takes you to high-minded places and the world looks at you and collapse, or whether it takes you to places where there's hurt people and places that you never thought you'd be and have you in situations you never thought you would be in so you could have compassion. Amen? All things work together for good. For who? Those who love God and called to his purpose, and only for those people. Only for those people. All things work together for good. Where's that scripture at? Let's see what's around it. Romans 8. Thank you. 8:28. Romans 8:28. Let's just start Romans 8:14, because this is exactly what we're talking about. Oh, gosh, this is so good. Okay, let's go with 8:11. If the Spirit of the one having raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised this Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies live through the indwelling of his Spirit in you. That means Holy Spirit lives inside of you because he raised Jesus from the dead. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to our flesh and to live the way the flesh wants. For if you live according to your flesh, you are going to die. And that honestly means premature death, but also eternal death. But if by the Spirit, now here's how you do this stuff. Remember we had our teaching on temptations? If by the Spirit, you, who? You. Who's responsible? You are. If by the Spirit you put to death the practices of your body, you'll live. Ooh, what do we have to do with sin? We have to put it to death. Who's going to do it? You're going to do it. How are you going to do it? By the Spirit. Does everybody see that? By the Spirit, I am going to put the practices of sin that operated in my life before Christ to death. If you were an alcoholic and you find Christ, then you get the revelation. By his Spirit, I'm going to put to death that sin of addiction. By his Spirit, I'm going to put to death any unclean, perverted, shameful things in my life. I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. Who's going to do it? You're going to do it. Are you going to go get medicated and stay drugged up by our drug culture? Or are you going to deal with your junk and do it? You're going to do it by His Spirit. What does that mean? Is the Spirit doing it or am I doing it? You're doing it by listening to Him. Because you're in the kingdom. And you don't have idols. You don't have idols of how it has to be. You don't have idols that you want this escape. You don't have idols that you don't know what you do if you won't be high. You don't have the idols. Amen? Idols are lies. They're things Satan made you think worked. They're things that made you think you got a break, you got an escape. They're lies. They're pure lies. You have to break those down by His Spirit. You put to death. Amen? This is perfect scripture for what I was doing today. But by the Spirit. But if by the Spirit. What does the if mean? It means you could choose not to do this. So you're responsible if you don't do this. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, then you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So when people say, I hear people say, well, I was a son before I was a slave. I heard somebody preach that this week. No, you weren't. You have to be a slave before you can be a son. You are not a son according to God and His kingdom. According to His kingdom, you're not a son until you put to death the practices of the body. You're not a son until you're led by His Spirit. You're an infant tossed every which way, but you are not a son. Amen? For you did not, when you found Christ, you did not receive the Spirit to slavery again to fear. But you received a Spirit of adoption by which you can cry, Abba, Father. Oh, there's such good teaching on this. Our Father who art in heaven. God's got you in the kingdom, God taking charge of your life will destroy your fear. His perfect love casts away your fear. I'm not afraid I'm not going to do this because it's God who's going to do this. And I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it led by God. I'm going to do this with God going in front of me. I'm going to do this listening to God. He can't fail. He's God. He's gigantic. He loves me. I can call Him Dad. I don't have to worry about Him letting me down. I don't have to worry about my past when I was a slavery to fear. I'm not a slavery to fear anymore. I'm not afraid I'm going to backslide. I'm not a slavery to fear anymore. I've been adopted by Daddy God. I'm not afraid that I'm going to go back to that garbage because, number one, I'm not a dog that I return to my vomit. And don't try to tell me I am because I'm not. Amen? And it's by God's Spirit that I'm going to get out of this. I'm the one who's going to get out of this. I'm the one who's going to live in victory. I'm the one who's going to overcome. But I'm going to be led by His Spirit. He will show me how. He will teach me how. I will do what He says. And boom, 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 we will be free. And I'm not a slave to fear anymore. I'm not going there. I'm going to be led by His Spirit. I'm going to be His son. I did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but I received the Spirit of adoption, which I can cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself witnesses within our spirit that we are children of God. That's the part where I tell you it's down here. It's not up here. The witness of the Holy Spirit is in your spirit. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's that yay inside of you. It's that yay inside of you. It's that Holy Spirit going, don't do that. It's inside of you. It's not up here. It's inside of you. You start to keep that TV on something it shouldn't be on. Come on. And that you get that feeling inside of you. God didn't have to say a word. You just get that feeling inside of you. This isn't right. Don't watch this. Why do you want to watch this, right? And you flip the channel or turn the thing off or throw the TV out. If you can't sit on you, talk to Jordan. He can put so many firewalls on your computer. No pornography could jump up there if it tried for a million years. You'd have to search and go way out of your way to pull this stuff up. I mean, nothing can get into my computer wall. Not because I have no issue that I'm tired of viruses and junk mail and garbage and trying to get my list and trying to destroy everything in there. So I said, Jordan said, I can fix it. I can put so much stuff on here. I don't know how, but I have my computer 2 days. I was saying this before. 2 days before I had the normal stuff that comes with them when you buy them, whatever the virus, antivirus stuff is. 2 days. 2 days. And I had 75 viruses. Hey, you laugh. They're the worst kinds. You were going to go after everybody on my Facebook friend page. But Jordan stopped them. 2 days. I downloaded a Bible. And some little thing popped up right when I was pushing the button, and it jumped right in the way of the real button. Next thing I know, I got 7 things on my desktop saying, push me. I'm like, oh, a free game, free this mess. I don't want it. And the more I tried to get rid of it, the bigger mess I made. Till my computer's blinking and not coming on and everything else. Brand new computer. I'm like, Jordan, I really tried to do this by myself, but I said, bring it in tomorrow. Okay. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children were heirs, truly heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer together, what do we have to do? Suffer together. Then we will be glorified together. Has anybody else recognized any suffering in this Christian walk? Has anybody else seen that dying to self is painful? I mean, it's not because, oh, poor me. It's because, oh, my idol set me up to suffer. Oh, and then when I get free from suffering because of my idolatry, I get to suffer for righteousness' sake. Which I prefer that suffering. Amen? I prefer that suffering. But before I get to be righteous, I get to suffer because of junk. I don't care how you slice and dice it. There's some suffering going on. Amen? There's some death to self. There's some painful relationships. There's some painful realities. There's looking at the checkbook and praying hard. Amen? There are some stuff going on that is suffering. There's fighting sickness. There's getting the devil away from your kids. There's getting the devil away from your jobs. How many know there's some suffering? Amen? Let's quit pretending there isn't. But if we suffer together and get through it together and bring down our idols together, we will be glorified. Amen? Together. For I calculate that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to compare to the glory that's being revealed in us. Yea, for the earnest expectation of the creation awaits the revelations of the sons of God. For the creation was not willingly subjected to vanity, but through Christ subjecting it on hope, that also the creation will be freed from the slavery of corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that all the creation groans together and travails together until now. And not only so, but we ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved by hope, but hope being seen is not hope. For what anyone sees, then why would he hope? But if we hope for what we do not see, through patience we wait eagerly. And likewise the Spirit joins us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. You grow up in God and you're going to have some wild intercession. If you've ever been here, Friday night, we got a little crazy wild with groanings and utterings that just are wild. That's this. Okay, that's this. So if anybody was like, what is she doing? That we were praying against ISIS stuff. We were praying against some attacks on a military basis. We were praying some powerful stuff. And oh my goodness, there were groans and utterances that were wild. It's right here in Scripture. It's time to grow up. Amen. It's try to get in the kingdom and watch God do his thing. Nobody can take credit for what God does. Okay, you aren't capable of doing these things, but you get to choose to participate in walking with God. You get to choose to walk in the things of God. It's so cool. And then he says, when you get to that place, all right, and you intercede with groanings that cannot be uttered, the Spirit himself is so real in your life. He knows how to pray through you. He knows how to cry out. He knows how to release angels. He knows how to do things nobody can even understand. Says the one searching the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he petitions on behalf of the saints according to God. That's Jesus. Jesus is up there petitioning. He knows our hearts. He knows what the Holy Spirit's got going on. He petitions on behalf of the saints according to God. Man, when we're praying, you got the Father, you got the Lord Jesus Christ, and you got the Holy Spirit working through the people of God. Now that's a prayer meeting. That's a real prayer meeting. We're going to start having some real prayer meetings on Friday nights. Mature, grow up, get into all the cool things of God. It says, here's the one. We know that the ones loving God, all things work together for good to those being called according to purpose. Because whom he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of his son, for him to be the firstborn among many brethren. For who he predestined, he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? How powerful is that? How powerful is that? Do you get, you can't take one little scripture out and say, all things work together for good to those who love God and called according to his purpose.